Praise the Lord. Really been enjoying this weekend, and as I say, we're trying to round up now as we can on the last session. Especially, there's things that we have to press into. And some of the things you've been hearing about this living word, hopefully it's making you recognize the difference between the living word and the written word. The living word is something that you have to prepare yourself for daily. Cannot just assume that you have ears to hear. The most common statement in the Word of God is, let us have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. So it's not about getting God to speak, it's about you having ears to hear. Isaiah 55 and verse 3 says this, incline your ear, come unto me, hear and your soul will live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. This is a promise. We're supposed to have an everlasting covenant with God. Our souls are supposed to come alive. When somebody connects with the Holy Spirit and they connect with that living word, their lives come to life. A new soul emerges. A new personality comes forth. And this is what the world wants to see. It's not interested in our theories and our theologies. It's interested to see that we have entered into a completely new person. And I don't need to ask you whether you're listening to the living word or not. I just look at your life and I see what's happened to you. Are you still the same person you were when you were first born again? If you are, you're not listening to the living word. You've connected yourself to the written word. And somewhere you need to wake up and realize it before it's too late. We need to pray. Give us today our daily bread. And I don't mean just food, I mean everything. Everything needs to come from Him. It needs to originate with Him. He is the author. He is the finisher. But He's also the creator. And we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So everything starts with Him. So we first of all got to listen to Him. An important statement that I keep reminding people of, and this is something that I want you to focus on and maybe write it up somewhere in your home or somewhere to remind yourself, God is speaking all the time. He's always speaking. And so often, because maybe you're in the flesh, and you're just thinking about your own things, and you're so concentrated on your issues, this is what's happening to you, then you can't hear God now. But He is speaking. The question is, are you listening? And so somewhere you need to catch that. A statement in Africa that they say very often is, God is good, and the people say all the time, God is good. And they go backwards and forwards. And I tell the people, I don't like that statement. They all look at me strangely, you know. But I like another statement. God is speaking. And you say all the time. If you can meditate on that fact, somewhere you can catch things before they get worse. Because you can't afford to go through a whole day and find out you never heard from God. That's the typical experience. And people put up with that. They accept that as the norm. But it's not the norm. So often the norm just becomes what everybody's doing. It's not like that in the kingdom. The kingdom hasn't changed. The kingdom is the kingdom, and it's not going to change. And you can live in that kingdom, and you can communicate with that kingdom, and your whole life can function from that kingdom. It's available. That's by grace. I know some people got stuck with this statement many years ago. The idea of asking God everything. And some people turn their noses up at that statement. What do you mean I have to ask God everything? I said, well, it's a privilege. It's a blessing to have a divine thought from God. Where did you get the idea that I have to? It's a blessing. It's by grace. It's by grace through faith. On what grounds can I have the possibility to be part of the divine nature and God's eternal plan? How can I fit into a divine country, a divine kingdom when I'm living in this world? The only way I'm going to do that is by grace through faith. I have to believe. It's not based on my righteousness, but not based on the way I'm living. It's not based on works. It's based on His grace for me to allow me to be part of something great, to be part of something eternal, and to be part of the plan that gives me a reward. The Bible says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. And there are rewards in heaven. You understand? And I'm not doing His will. I'm losing out. You understand? I'm losing out. Well, can you imagine a country that runs like this, pays for everything, makes it possible for you to communicate with that country, far away, mind you, then gives you a reward for just doing what you're told. And you didn't even pay for any of the communications, or you didn't even do the work. That's a strange situation, you know? Well, that's God's grace. He does all the work. You do no work. You just do what you're told. And when you enter into this contract, you just obey. You don't get used up. You don't get burnt up. You don't get sick. Can you imagine this now? I can't imagine any country funding this kind of system. But God's kingdom is so superior, He not only provides for everything, He says, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God, and what? His way of being righteous. When you do all these things, when you do that, all these other things that we need in this carnal world, which has got nothing to do with the kingdom of God in that sense, except He created it, but it's natural. He takes care of all that too. So it's like, and it's an incredible system. And this country's far away. It's not local, you know. The kingdom of God is beyond our stars, beyond our galaxy. And I know it's here too by the Spirit. But I don't know any country that could possibly do that. There isn't a rich enough country like America couldn't do that. But the kingdom of God can, if you believe. And all you have to do, the condition, is to trust and obey. That's the only condition. It's not complicated. And you get rewards with it as well. And you get healing. And you get blessings. And everything follows you. Okay. We're talking about the living word. The living word is not the written word. Look at your life, please. Examine yourself this weekend. Be honest. Look at the fruit in your life. Are you suffering? Is things getting worse in your life, or are things getting better? Hebrews 10? It says, keep meeting together. We might read it at some point if we have time, but keep meeting together as the day is approaching. And, you know, normally when we read that verse, I think it's Hebrews 10:25. It's talking about do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So have fellowship. But it also talks about the day approaching. Well, normally we interpret that as Jesus coming. And of course He's coming. But what about the fact that that might be talking about something else? What about that might be talking about the fact that you are supposed to be living in the light? You know, as you begin to work out your salvation and you're walking in the light you have, things get brighter. You get more eyes to see. The fruit of the living word is that you see more. Somewhere you should be just, you know, you shouldn't be living in old Rhema. You shouldn't be living off revelation that was 10 years ago. You should have moved on. The day is coming. The night is disappearing. You should be living in the light, not living in the darkness. Things should be coming clearer. I'm asking you to be honest about looking at the fruit where you are. Is the devil deceiving you? Is he your Bible teacher? That's what I'm saying. Is the devil teaching you, or is the Spirit teaching you? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, Paul has to speak to a carnal church. This is, you know, the testimony. We've heard this so many times from Brother Hedgecock. But, you know, the church was carnal, and Paul inherited this church. He had to say to them, you're babes in Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he says, we have not received the spirit of the world. Stop right there. Can you see any similarity between your life and the world around you? Is the world encroaching on you, or are you expanding your horizons? Are you becoming more worldly, or are you influencing the people around you? It's going one way or the other. It's not standstill. You don't fix your borders. You're either advancing or you're being defeated. But God did not give us, we're not supposed to receive the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is pride. The spirit of the world is, I know what to do. I use my mind. That's what the world says. I have all the information. And you're under this pressure all the time. Do you understand that? Do you know you're living in this muck? Well, you've got to do something about that. You can't just sit there and say, oh, I'm sorry, and apologize. You've got to say hallelujah every so often. You know, you can't just let that slide. You can challenge it, you know. I'm not saying that you become a Bible basher, but you've got to say something. And the Spirit of the Lord that's in you, not the spirit of the world, the Spirit of the Lord knows what to say to that person. And you can hear that word and say to that person, you sure? Do you really know what to do? God only knows. You can make statements like, you can throw away one-liners like that. Do you fear God? I mean, you have a possibility to have a conversation with somebody and drop some words in them. You don't have to tell them what they need to believe. The Spirit of the Lord will do that. If you help God a lot, He can do a little. If you help God a little, He can do a lot. But you don't help Him at all, He can do anything. Stop helping God. Some of you got air. You don't need to do the whole thing. You're only supposed to do your part. Hear what your part is. He says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Freely given to us. Many people don't know what's in their salvation today. They are, you know, things that we have been given. And most of the seminars that I've heard and been to, unfortunately, have been about things that we should already know. The Spirit of the Lord is there to teach us those things. He's there to explain our salvation. He's there to explain to us freely what's been given to us. And there are conditions. So all things are freely given, but they must be received by faith. If you can believe, you can receive. If you cannot believe, you won't receive. As simple as this. You could be standing here today confessing your sins and not entering the presence of God. Simple thing like that. I can tell you about the forgiveness of God. I can tell you how wonderful it is, how the cleansing blood of Jesus removes all your sin. And you can boldly, I can tell you from personal experience, I boldly come in the presence of God, and you're sitting there still on the border because you don't believe. You confess your sins, but you don't believe. You haven't got faith with the Word. The Word must be mixed with faith. Otherwise, you just end up standing there. Just a simple thing. You can have a spiritual famine in your life just because you are not spiritual. Please underline that. You can have a famine in your life just because you are not spiritual. You can choose today to be spiritual. You don't have to fast and pray. You don't have to work for it. You just have to become spiritual. It's a choice. You must decide that you're no longer going to use your carnal system, which is logic, reasoning, understanding, thinking, but you're going to be a spiritual person, which means that you're going to line yourself up with spiritual events, spiritual things, which is mostly what God will bring to your mind, thoughts He will bring, the Spirit grieving, the Spirit bearing witness, the peace of God, the lack of the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the lack of the joy of the Lord. All these things are spiritual. And you can line up with them. Your life can take on that format. It's your choice. You're making choices. Look at what you do. Look at how you respond to spiritual events and how you look to physical or carnal events. Which do you run to first? Which one has more impact or causes more of a reaction in you? You're the one who determines that. So if your reaction, you hear something on the news and you're always talking about the news, you're carnal then. So those things take your interest. But if I hear testimonies of the Holy Spirit said this to me and the Holy Spirit said, well, I know where you're coming from. You understand? 1 Corinthians 2:13, he says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, some people don't like this. They want to see it like in black and white. They want to see it, they want scripture and verse. And that's it. That's part of the problem. I love scripture and verse. I don't want to do anything outside the written word. If I'm doing something outside the written word, please tell me, okay? If you think I'm doing something outside of the clear, plain, simple scripture in the word. If I'm doing that, I'm not walking in the truth. But at the same time, there is the Spirit who takes the word and makes it contextual to me, brings it to life. He brings it to my situation and He makes something that is something in the scriptures and He applies it to my life and what I'm doing right now. And the connection between those two things is bizarre. You say, what has Psalm 23 verse 9 got to do with me buying bread? It doesn't, you know, or whatever. But God has spoken and He's used a particular verse to help me. If you look in the example in the book of Acts, Peter, he has a vision. And the Bible says he was hungry. Now, this is spiritual now. He's hungry. So what do you think you might get as a vision? Down comes a big sheet of animals with lots of different animals in it that you're not supposed to eat. And he says, get up and eat. Now, that's a spiritual thing. It was at 12 o'clock. It says it in the Word. Acts 10:10, if you want to read it. It was 12 noon. It was time for lunch. And God was serving lunch. It wasn't the kind of lunch he was expecting. Maybe he was thinking for some, you know, nice steak or something. I don't know what they had back then. Or I can't imagine. But anyway, it was lunch was being served. And this time, it was a message for Peter because he was needing some real food. God, you need to tune yourself in. You need to understand that when something happens to you, you need to ask God. Some people, as soon as their stomach rumbles, they're running to try and fix that stomach. In Africa, they call the stomach central government. Okay, I hope it's not the central government in your life. I hope that when that happens, you say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And then you ask the Holy Spirit what to do, and the Holy Spirit will tell you what to do, and you do what the Holy Spirit tells you what to do.
That's it. You don't just rush and get something. You don't need to tell God, I'm hungry. He knows it's 12 o'clock. Just ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And trust Him. You see, somewhere, you need to get it down to that level, which is what we were trying to say yesterday in the prayer of Jesus when He told His disciples to pray. Pray like this, give us a day our daily bread. Well, you've said your prayer. You said it early in the morning. You don't say it just when you're sitting in front of your food. You missed it. Jesus taught His disciples to pray early. And if they prayed in the morning and they went through the whole day and they had nothing, they missed God. Because they were supposed to pray in the morning, Lord, today, give us today our daily bread. And they're being persecuted. They're running for their lives. And they can't just go shopping. They don't have any money in their pocket. Remember, Jesus said, when you go somewhere, take no money with you. I tell you this, I could save the missionary organizations a lot of money if they would just follow the Word of God. You wouldn't have to pay for all those meals. You wouldn't have to pay for all those big crusades where you have to send money for food. I don't know if as many people would come except by the Spirit. The greatest crusade. One time I was doing a meeting in India. This is when I used to go to India. Darren goes to India for me now. Thank you very much. He's been promoted. Hallelujah. But anyway, back then I was doing a crusade. I think there was probably about 200 people in the service. It was kind of unusual, and I got a phone call from another pastor saying, I heard about you were having a conference in, I think it was somewhere in Visuada, or I can't remember exactly where it was. And he said, I heard about it. I said, what made you hear about it? He said, I know you, Dr. Keith, you don't pay for food to feed the people. He said, but I heard there was over 100 people at that meeting. He said, that's the most unusual crusade or seminar I've ever heard about. He said, I would like to have attended it, but I couldn't make it. Anyway, God compares spiritual with spiritual. Please wake up. He compares spiritual with spirit. He doesn't compare spiritual with carnal. He takes something that is you're going through, not you're going through, but something He inputs into your life and says something, He interrupts your life. That's a spiritual thing. You understand? He changes your direction. He makes something happen that you were not ready for, and then He takes that and He teaches, comparing that event, not your plan, His spiritual event that He interrupted your life, with something else that He's trying to teach you. But you're so busy going through life on your phone or doing something, you don't hear that. You're not going slow enough to sense that spirit. When that happens, you're about to get a lesson. You're about to get a lesson from the Holy Ghost on something He wants to teach you and prepare you. You just miss God's appointment because you're too busy. You're too much in a rush. Maybe you've got your focus on something else, your own ideas, your own doctrine, your own whatever. I don't know what it is. But it starts with spiritual. It doesn't start with carnal. It starts with spiritual, ends with spiritual. So God is doing that. He did it with Peter. Why wouldn't He do it with you? So the next time when your stomach grumbles, you may be about to have a Peter experience. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have to slow down. You heard that so many times. There is a spiritual manifestation that you need to be more accustomed to, the witness of the Spirit, the peace of God. Scripture should be coming back to your mind. A healthy mind is a mind that is constantly having thoughts come into it from God. Should be the normal thing, not the abnormal, not the super spiritual thing. The normal Christian life is a mind that is fixed and still hearing what the Holy Spirit is telling them at that particular time. He is speaking all the time. Please remember that. In Ephesians chapter 4, I hope you're getting some things from this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul again begins speaking again about the same issue, this time with the Ephesians. He says, I say and solemnly testify, I'm reading the Amplified. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles do, in the perverseness, in the folly, in the vanity, and the emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. He didn't say in the futility of their carnal minds. He said in the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened. Do you know that your moral understanding is darkened in the natural? Their reasoning is beclouded. This is talking about the world today. You're living with people in the world whose understanding, their moral understanding, is darkened, and you're living with people. I'm not judging, I'm just saying what the Bible's saying. You are living with people whose reasoning is beclouded, which means that they're corrupted or they're not clear. In their mind, they're clearly thinking, but in actual reality, they are cloudy. You're living with people like that. So if you start agreeing with that, or you start accepting those viewpoints and those ideas without testing especially, and it's more than likely this is the case, then you're in danger of becoming likewise. Either you are being converted by them or you are converting them. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, and the willful blindness. I hope that your desire is not more knowledge here today. Hope your desire is not trying to get more wisdom or just more perception. Your desire should be, like we said at the beginning, to know Him. The greater includes the lesser. Please don't seek knowledge. It's a waste of time. Even wisdom is a waste of time compared to knowing Him. To know Him is everything. To know Him means that all the knowledge is going to fit in the right place. And you'll hold that knowledge forever, lightly. You will not hold on to it as your security. Your security is in the fact that you know Him. And that you're trusting Him. And you're not walking in willful blindness. Why? Because you know Him. Because you know Him and you can sense His heart, you're walking closely with Him. So you're not walking in blindness. The only way I can not be blind is to trust in Him completely. It's not to have all my facts and my doctrine and my knowledge right. He says here, this is Paul speaking, this is the Amplified again. He says, this is deep-seated in them. Talking about the world. Deep-seated, due to their hardness of heart. Do you know that your hardness of heart is deep-seated? It's not something you can just fix easily. Please approach a hardened heart, if you have one today, please take it seriously. you have only a little time left. According to the Word of God, you've got two options. You've got to do some deep, deep repentance. I'm just telling you this because some of you just take these things lightly. You don't take the Word of God seriously. You're not looking at the condition of your soul in the way you need to. The church today has no understanding of sin, does not see the abomination, doesn't have the fear of God. This is bad, you understand? This tells me there's a famine in the land. If you have a hardened heart, you have a deep-seated problem. You understand? You need a big operation. You understand? It's not just a small issue. That hard heart goes way back. And you can do an operation. There's two ways of doing this. One way is come to God and allow Him to do some digging around and let Him get down and get some godly sorrow and really get to the root of the problem and dig it out. That's one possibility. Another possibility, God says, and this is by grace, He says, I'll give you a new heart if you believe. Now you might say, oh, I think I like the idea of a new heart. That's good. But like I tell people, there's kind of like just to get yourself prepared for the new heart. When it comes, you've got to be ready for it. You're going to have a heart replacement. And when that new heart comes, it's not like your old heart, which is drawn away by the fantasies of the world and the flashing lights and the excitement that the world talks about and the pleasures of the flesh. The new heart is in tune with God. It comes perfectly packaged. It's a delivery from heaven. It doesn't have any flaws in it. I mean, God's offering this. Maybe you don't believe. Maybe one of these people just doesn't believe this is available. But I've read the Bible and I found it is available. And I know people who are going to do it in the last days are going to just go for it and say, I haven't been able to get to the root of my sin. I'm just going to go for the new heart. And as long as your motivation is that you want to do the will of God, it'll work. Because the new heart, when it comes, doesn't have any flaws or mistakes in it. But when it comes, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Don't go back to the moral thinking or the moral goodness. I said yesterday or the day before, I said about the fact that there is a way that seems right, that there is good is the enemy of best. Choose to listen to that new heart that God will provide, which is connected to heaven and will tell you when it's time to stop. Even when you think it's not time to stop, it's time to stop. Verse 19, in their spiritual apathy, does this describe you? In their spiritual apathy, they've become callous. You see, you have the ability to be spiritual by grace. You have the possibility to exercise yourself in the spiritual realm, to be clear about what truth is. If you don't do that, according to the Word, you're going to become callous. There's no middle ground. You're either becoming softer or you're becoming harder. Please tell yourself. There's no place to hide. You can't stand still in this. There is no third kingdom. You've heard this before. There's only the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You're feeding one or the other. You're going one way or you're going the other way. It says, verse 90, in their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and ready to indulge in every form of impurity that depraved desires may suggest and demand. Verse 20, but you did not so learn Christ. What you heard yesterday was a definition of meekness. A definition of meekness. How many of you already know about meekness? Isn't it a surprise? Some of you may have been a little bit surprised with what I read out. Let me just remind you of what Webster said about meekness, because we don't hear much about meekness, do we? Let me just tell you what Jesus Christ said. Matthew 5:5 says this, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Wow. You think these big conferences might be missing it somewhere? I don't think I've been to a conference on how to be meek or what meekness really is. Never heard about one being advertised anyway. I mean, maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm in the wrong circles or something. But anyway, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness, if I can remind you, I put my own definition here. I'm not saying it's correct, but let you meditate on it. It is a willingness to endure for God's plan of salvation and perfect will being done in your life. It is a willingness to endure for God's plan of salvation and perfect will being done in your life. It is what is required to receive the engrafted word. And this word is like, it's not going to be like the written word that's just kind of just one level. The word that you're going to receive when you receive one word from God, it's not like just a statement and a code. The living word, once it comes in your heart, is engrafted in here. It will start to spread. It's like light. And what happens is you accept a truth like God is speaking all the time. When you accept that, see, that's a living word, okay? I can prove that from the Bible. I can take Isaiah 55:10-11. I can take my sheep, hear my voice, John 10:27. You know, I can prove it from the written word. But that is a statement. Once you receive it and the Spirit is witnessing that to you, it goes inside of you and it doesn't just stop there. It doesn't just, oh, there's a statement. It begins to expose. It begins to reveal other areas of unbelief, because that may not be what you're walking in. And you realize that you're not hearing God all the time. And so now you have to change your lifestyle. Now you have to be honest. Now you have to be honest about what voice you're actually listening to. Because you're listening to some other voice if you're not listening to God. So this word spreads. It's like, it's not a still word. It's a dynamic word. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek." You know, when you're thinking about Jesus and who he is, what's the first thing that comes into your mind? What's the first thing that maybe flashes into your mind as Jesus Christ, as somebody who came for you? Hopefully it's the cross. Is that the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of Jesus? It should be. Because that is the perfect example of meekness. It is indeed meekness. Because he endured that cross for the sake of me and you. And you need to know that meekness. That meekness, he says, "Come, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You know why people are so stressed today? Because they haven't learned this. They haven't got that meekness. They're not passionate about doing God's will. They're not focused. They've got too many irons in the fire. They're serving too many masters. Serve one. It'll save a lot of time. It'll help you. Focus on the one. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Yes, he was humble, of course. He had to be. But that didn't mean that he let everybody walk all over him. If that was the case, the crowd would have thrown him off the side of the cliff. He walked right through the crowd. He had power. He had authority. He knew where that power and authority was coming from. I don't think he ever had to raise his hand like you see so many preachers doing today and say, in the name of Jesus. That's not meekness. That's you trying to take command and take control and make something happen. That's like taking the Bible, the written word, and trying to make it into the living word. It doesn't work. You can't just say in the name of Jesus. It doesn't work under your command. Matthew 21 verse 5 says, tell your daughter of Zion, behold, your king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt and a foal of an ass, even. Jesus was submitted. He came to do the plan that God had set for him and to fulfill the scriptures, to do everything according to the way that the Father wanted to do it. He didn't rush ahead. He didn't get behind. He made sure he was in step with God. He did everything, but he had no plan. Hallelujah. All he did was keep listening to the Father. His solution for holiness and meeting the task at hand was to be meek. Somebody say hallelujah. This is what you need to do. This will change you. You know, when you receive the word, when you've received the word in the past, you have let that word just be there for your handiness. Let's say if you accept like the written word, you use that scripture for when you're in that situation. That's what you do. Okay? That's you in control. That's not God in control. You're still in charge of your life. You're still Lord of your own life. But when you become meek and lowly in heart, like Jesus, now the living word takes over. And the word comes, and you are ready to just do it whatever way he wants to do it, even if that means you have to suffer and endure. You know there's a time and a place for everything, the Bible says. So you're not just trying to do something just to get it done. You want to know, is this the time? And you're seeking, you're knocking. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. We were talking about this yesterday. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Talks about having ears to hear. Says this, starting in verse 15, for I know the record of your works and what you are doing. I know what you're doing, says the Lord. You're neither cold nor hot. Imagine having a record of every work that you're doing. Can you imagine doing this today? Look at what you've done since this morning and ask yourself, was I hot, was I cold, or was I lukewarm? Because every work that you're doing has one of those temperatures to it. Are you hot? Are you cold? Or are you lukewarm? And you could assign a temperature to those things. God is recording. He knows. It's adding up. It's time not to just say, I'll deal with this tomorrow. You can't keep doing that because tomorrow never comes. I mean, when I get to tomorrow, it'll be today, so it doesn't come. Tomorrow's not going to come. Today is the day of our salvation. Today is the day when we need to deal with it. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Just, if you can be bold enough, strong enough, to let the Holy Spirit show your works in terms of a temperature. You're either hot, you're cold, or you're lukewarm. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. There is a clock ticking. Time is running out. You know, if you're cold, it might seem strange to some of you, but God's allowing that because He wants to give you a chance to repent. If you're genuinely cold and you do your own will, fine. God says, okay, I'll let you do that. Go your way. Do it your way. You know, have a go. See if you can make yourself happy. Go ahead. He challenges you. Go ahead and use your reason and understanding. Go ahead and make the decision for your life with your own wisdom, with your own knowledge. Just go ahead. And He wants to give you a chance to, in that process, over a period of time, realize this isn't going good. Then hopefully He wants you to come back willingly, humbly, in brokenness and say, Master, I've wasted everything. You've been like the prodigal son. You've wasted everything. You say, God, forgive me. And what's the Father going to do? Oh, you just wasted all that time. No, He planned it from the beginning. He comes back. He puts a robe on you, rings on your fingers, kills the fatted calf. This is crazy. It's all part of the plan. Do you know when you fall, some of you are looking at your failures, but your failures are your successes. Your failures are teaching you something. And through them, because of God's grace, which is enormous, that your failures can be stepping stones to success. That's God's plan from the beginning. Even we know in the medical world that sometimes when we're trying to treat something, we don't treat it by just antibiotics. We take a little bit of the infection and we inject ourselves with that injection, and it builds up antibodies so that we can fight off the major disease when it comes. But we have to take a little bit of the infection first. It might not look like to you it's God's wisdom, but sometimes He lets us fall, that we get up again. I'm not justifying sin, please understand. But God's grace is enough and well sufficient to help you come to maturity. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you a list now. And this is not an absolute list. It's just some things that I wrote down, the Holy Spirit gave me, that helped me to see why I wasn't receiving the living word, okay? And you might want to just jot these down quickly and then see if any of this speaks to you. Again, like I say, it's not an absolute list. It's just, I was praying. I felt like the Holy Spirit just gave me 24 things. But I'm sure there's 100 things in every one of us. But this is what came to mind at the time. So this is what is causing the famine in hearing the Word of God for you personally. And I pray that some of these things will touch your heart and help you to understand that God is speaking all the time, but you're not listening. Number one, you'd expect this, the lack of meekness. Number two, not seeking His kingdom and His righteousness. Number three, anxiety. Thinking and talking too much. That's number three. Anxiety. Thinking and talking too much. That's based on James chapter 1. Number four. Living by principles in the written word. The letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Living only by principles in the living word. Number five. Thinking, this is a common one now, thinking that you can come to truth without the Holy Spirit. Number five, thinking that you can come to truth without the Holy Spirit. Number six, these are good ones now, lack of the fear of God in your life. The lack of the fear of God in your life. Number seven, fear of failure. And in brackets, lack of faith. Fear of failure. In brackets, lack of faith. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Number eight, comparing yourself with someone else. What a big mistake that is. Never compare yourself with someone else. Number nine, taking your eyes off the cross. God has His ways of doing things. Taking your eyes off that cross. Number 10, the fear of man. It's a snare, the Bible says. The fear of man. Number 11, open sin. This is sin that you know is sin. Just keep making excuses for it. Number 12, resisting conviction. It's part of the living word. Resisting conviction. Many people don't want to be convicted today. They come to church, they want to feel good. Come to church, you should feel bad. Hallelujah. Number 13, bad habits. Bad habits can stop you from hearing the living word. You've heard this one. Number 14, hardened heart. Make no excuses. There's two solutions to the hardened heart. I've mentioned them. Choose your option. Number 15, making excuses. Never make excuses for disobeying God and what He's saying for you to do. There's only reasons. Making excuses, number 15. Number 16, afraid of suffering. Please do not allow the fear of suffering to come into your life. Suffering is part of the gospel. Accept it now. Don't listen to this cheap gospel. Number 17, afraid of correction. You may have grown up in the past with authorities that have been abusive, and God is opposed to that. But He will deal with those authorities, not you. Do not be afraid of correction. Number 18, submit yourself to your authority. To not be submitted to authority means you're not ready for the living word. Because God can do anything. He is not afraid of anyone or any authority. You submit to authority. If you're righteous, God will raise you up. Number 19, anger. Anger never does anything. It doesn't achieve anything. If you are getting angry, you're already in the flesh. Number 20, realizing that you are lost without Him. How helpless do you feel? The common phrase today in churches is, I'm already saved. But are you really helpless? You are nothing without Him. Number 21, not working out your salvation in fear and trembling. This is a command, it's not just a suggestion. You must work out your salvation in fear and trembling. Number 22, keeping records. Somebody say hallelujah. Keeping records of what God has said to you in the past. There's a book in heaven with your name on it. God keeps records. Number 23, justifying your own lordship. Justifying it. Never do that. And number 24, the last one. Lack of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We mentioned it yesterday. John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. The wind blows where it wants. You hear the sound thereof. You neither know where it's coming or where it's going. So it is everyone who's really born of the Spirit. So these are just some of the things that I've been sharing with you over this time. I hope that it's produced some godly sorrow, some awareness of sin, and some things to work on. Please don't waste this opportunity. Don't waste the opportunity. Write it down. Get it in your notebook. Leave it there for a little bit. Then come back to it. Come back to your notes. If you're making notes, come back to them a bit later. Come back to them when God draws you in. Make an appointment with God. Don't just rush ahead. You're just getting back in the flesh again. Realize that you just ask Him for an appointment. Not because God has, you have to have an appointment, but you want to have a time when you're ready. He's ready 24/7. I don't even know myself. I don't even know that I'm ready. Do you understand? I know my heart is thoroughly wicked. I don't trust myself. So I need Him to tell me when I'm ready. I don't say I'm ready. No one can say I'm ready. I can work out my salvation in fear and trembling, but and I'm working on being ready. I'm pressing towards that mark. Let's make sure we're doing that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I hope that that's helped you. I pray that God would make some of these things clear to you, that somehow that famine, the famine of hearing His word, will go away from your life. And that you will have an wonderful experience of the Spirit of God afresh, giving you words, not words for somebody else, please. Don't give me that idea about hearing God. You know, some of you maybe are in ministry and God is speaking to you. And somebody could be listening to this message today and say, I hear God. I know many Pentecostals who've told me, I'm hearing God. But they're not. They're going to get left behind. The fruit in their life tells me they're going to get left behind. We have leaders who are doing things that are not right before God. People who are falling away, falling into sin. How did that happen? Did it just happen overnight? Was it just a little mistake and then it happened? Wasn't Satan working on you for some time before that happened? Of course he is. Satan's been working busy under your nose. And you didn't even see it happening. So you need to cling to that living word. If the Spirit today has spoken to you, then hang on to that word. Believe that God used me or used somebody to speak to you, and then the Spirit is going to enable you to give you a better understanding. Make sure you do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this wonderful weekend. I thank you for your Spirit that's been working throughout. And you've been speaking very clearly through these messages. And people's lives have been touched. That's a testimony to you, your Spirit at work. Not man can do that. We're not using human arguments. We're not trying to come with the Greek and the Hebrew. We're not professing to know something. We know nothing. But we listen and cling to your Spirit, asking your Holy Spirit to quicken your word through us as we yield to your Spirit. And you will get the glory because you are the one doing the work. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this blessed time to be here in your place with your children, who love your word, love truth. Father, I pray for you to help them as they embrace your word now and walk it out in humility and meekness. In Jesus' name, amen.